This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Everybody, Kate Delaney coming up. Anna Liotta, my pal, joins us for another segment on Forbes Books at Bedtime. Hope you're having a terrific week, and we continue the conversation about what's happening in Washington and how it affects you. You know, this show is all about the direction we're headed as a country, what's happening in your backyard, what's happening in mine, and also the ins and outs of everyday life, the things that we're all struggling with or really soaring with. It's not all negative. What is negative is what's going on with Iran, and I'll start there because there's so much talk of this at the start of the week, and Iran is dismissing what the president's threat was over Twitter in caps. So a high-ranking Iranian officer said that the prez, his warning of unprecedented consequences for Iran should the country threaten the U.S. is nothing but psychological warfare, and just dismissed it. So the chief of the Parliamentary Revolutionary Guards Volunteer Force said that the president of the United States won't dare take any military action against Iran. And again, this was psychological warfare. There have been a lot of comments about this. Are we going to get into a war with Iran? Let me tell you what the tweet was. The tweet from the president that came out very early on Monday was exceptionally strong in capital letters, said, "Never ever threaten the United States again, or you will suffer consequences the likes of which few throughout history have suffered before." So that was the tweet heard around the world, and there was the reaction to that. It was pumped out by Iran's state-owned news agency, and they also, by the way, dismissed the president's warning to the country and to Rouhani specifically, who would be his counterpart in Iran, and they described it as passive reaction, that the government in Iran just had passive reaction to this, that they're not concerned in this public war of words, and it will probably just cool. So over the weekend, U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo was strongly critical of Iran. He said that the religious leaders of that country are hypocritical holy men who amassed vast amounts of wealth while allowing their people to suffer, and he said it's part of the of what they do to control the people there in Iran. And he talked about increasing the media overreach to the Iranian people. He said that the U.S. Broadcasting Board of Governors is taking new steps to help Iranians get around internet censorship. As we know, there is huge internet censorship in Iran. So coming out of D.C., certainly this was one of the bigger stories that resonated over the weekend. It was part of the talking heads, the Sunday swirl, if you will, on some of the TV political shows, just reaction to what will Iran do? Will they take the threat seriously? Will we have some sort of a war with Iran over this, not the tweet, but over this war of words that continues, the threats and whatnot? And the answer to that is most of the politicians who have held those positions, like former defense secretaries, it seemed in their reaction to me is that no, that this is just going to ratchet up, you know, that maybe the nastiness between the president and Rouhani, for example, but that Iran is just going to continue to do what they do. Because remember, we let them out of those economic sanctions several years ago, and once we did that, then it kind of went back to the same as usual for that country. Over the weekend, there was a crazy warning about Ritz crackers. They're being recalled over salmonella fears in a lot of states, and a lot of their products products. So it's not just the crackers themselves, because remember, they've got several different products. They say it's where the whey for the crackers were produced, and they think that's where that comes, where the taintedness comes in from, because several people have gotten sick over it and they don't want to take any chances. So not a good thing. Well, we're seeing more and more of that here in America Tonight. How many times this year have I reported or talked about stories and talked with people in the food industry about some of the contaminated food and what's going on in our food system and how it's being processed and what's happening through various, you know, plants, etc. And this is one of those situations where that's where they get their whey from someplace else, and they've got several different factories. So it's hit a swath of the United States. So it's just a across the board recall, just across the board. This was a horrible story that happened, oh gosh, last Thursday, and I talked about it in our last hour. We've had people on before from the National Transportation Safety Board to talk about these duck boats. It's been a long time, but I mentioned having been on several of them, not in situations, though, where we had 5-foot waves. At Table Rock Lake near Branson, Missouri, because of a severe thunderstorm whipping up the winds and the waves and everything else, they found themselves, the people on that boat, in a situation where there was an 80-foot drop, and then there were 5-foot waves that were being reported. There were 31 people on the boats. 17 people died on Monday. They lifted the boat, a salvage company lifted the boat out of the water because it sunk all the way to the bottom, of course, and this process took hours and hours and hours, and the idea is take the boat as it is to another facility, which is common procedure for the National Transportation Safety Board, to look at it and inspect it and try to figure out, lift it up and figure out what happened there. And part of this is that those boats are so low in the water in the first place, and then there's the question about life jackets and what did the crew do. And I think it, to me, it seems like from the video that I saw from someone who shot that on shore, and it's everywhere, just go to any of your search engines and you can find it, that you had no time, that people had no time. They were trying to get out of the boat, but they couldn't get out of the boat, that there were some that managed to do that because they jumped into the water. But unfortunately, a lot of them weren't able to get out. And the thing with the life jackets is that somebody who was on the boat said that the captain said something about the life jackets, but said, above you are the life jackets, which that is common. I've been on those boats. They are above your head. And he said there are 3 sizes, but you won't need them. You won't need them. Boy, oh boy. And what would have happened, and that's the other question, if they had the life jackets on, would they have floated to the top of the boats and then been there right on top of the canopy, and then they could have drowned that way? I'm wondering, and there's already a call to ban the amphibious boats from World War II, and there's so many companies that operate these, but I don't know that that will happen. There may be safety requirements, but what would those safety requirements look like? And that would have to be, how do you get off the boat quickly? And what happens if it capsizes? And if you've been on those boats, you know, because of the canopy and because of how low it is, I think it'd be pretty tough to figure out a great way to evacuate it. All right, stay with us. As I said, coming up later this hour, we continue our conversation with Anna Liotta. Kate Delaney, America Tonight.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And a crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Hi, I'm Patrick Colbeck, and I'm running for governor. In the wake of the adoption of Common Core in 2010, Michigan's education system has been in a steady decline. In order to regain our former reputation for education excellence, we need to dump Common Core and get the feds and state government out of the classroom. We need to refocus education upon parents, teachers, and students. Under my service as governor, our schools will get the resources they need without any micromanagement of the classroom. Principled solutions prioritize your best interests, not lobbyists. Paid for by Patrick Colbeck for governor.
Long-distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Get relief for your neck or back pain when you search Amazon for sunshine pillows, heating wraps, and pads, often listed as an Amazon choice.
Why take another pill?
Now, from Sunny Bay and by customer demand, we introduce our extra-long neck heating wrap, a complete wrap, wide and hands-free, and brings fast relief to those who suffer from neck or back pain.
You can easily find sunshine pillows on Amazon.
Or search Amazon for our new Sunny Bay disposable heat pads. Or look for Sunny Bay heated neck wraps for relief from back pain to menstrual pain and cramps.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck or back or shoulder.
See why our company, Biomed DB Design, has a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. Just go to Amazon.com and search Sunny Bay or call us 253-678-1361.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. Kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
Everybody's heard me talk about Life's Abundance that you can go to through kateskibble.com. And I'll tell you what, it's been such a game changer for Mahalo. And we're talking to more and more people about that. And joining us now is Lisa Flynn. And Lisa is a real estate guru in Florida, in the Sarasota area. Huh, who doesn't want to live in Sarasota, especially right now if you're listening to me in the Midwest and you're shoveling? You're thinking, I want to move to Sarasota. And Lisa has a background where at one point she was a dog trainer and kennel owner and whatnot. And besides being a real estate mogul, she got involved with Life's Abundance as well. And what a game changer for, you know, for the economics of a business, you know, because it is a business for some people out there listening, and also for what it does for your dog as well. Lisa, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Kate.
So let's start with your background first about being a dog trainer and kennel owner. Tell us about that. What was that like? And I, you know, being a kennel owner to me would be wild. It'd be so cool, but I think I'd fall in love with all the animals and I wouldn't want to give them up.
That is oftentimes the case, yes. I have made some real connections with some fantastic dogs and some fantastic owners over the years. But yes, I trained dogs professionally for close to 20 years in the Washington, D.C. area as well as the Boston area, and a little bit here in Sarasota, but not a whole lot. And I had a 25-run kennel with doggy daycare and boarding and grooming and, of course, the dog training. So I did a lot of that. I also worked with some of the sheriff's departments in the D.C. area with their dogs. So it was pretty cool.
So let me ask you a question. This is a personal question. People will love this. They love it when I peel back the onion on the assistant producer of the show, which is my golden retriever, Mahalo. And Mahalo is still, he's 8 years old and he moves around great and runs and all that other stuff, but I want to be careful with him. And you know how do you get dogs to go up steps to a bed? Or come down. It's really come down because that's where they hurt their joints.
Yeah, right. That's so funny. It's just like if you were a doctor. You talk with somebody and tell them you're a dog trainer. They have a dog training question, and it's the doctor. And, hey, doc, I have this rash. Let me take a look. So Well, it's guiding the dog, of course, and if you have a great relationship, as you do with Mahalo, of course, they will trust you and name it. That's the most important part, is if you're just trying to get him to do something without actually naming it. So training and obedience and so forth is not really just tricks. It is a language that to communicate with your dog. So when you name it, say stairs or something along those lines, and guide him with that, you certainly treats will help and a lot of encouragement. Then he'll start to understand that if you just start grabbing him and trying to tug him down the stairs, he's going to freak out and not know what's going on. So as you start naming it and encouraging him that way, then it literally it becomes a language between the two of you, so you can communicate to him what to do. Most people just tell their dogs what not to do. So the key is to be able to teach them so you can tell them what to do instead of just what not to do.
I love it. That is a million-dollar tip, I have to tell you. So I know people out there probably have similar situations where they're trying to get their animal to do something that would benefit them. And you're right. You say, don't do this, don't go here, don't whatever. But it should be the opposite. And, wow, that's fascinating. So you go from the dog training and a tip like that and kennel owner, which is so cool. You're in Florida, you're doing the real estate thing, and you started with Life's Abundance. What led you to Life's Abundance and starting that?
Well, actually, I started with Life's Abundance 18 years ago.
Wow.
So I've been feeding and recommending and actually selling Life's Abundance since the year 2000. This company has been around for a long time, and I've been aligned with them for a very long time. And it was a natural add-on to my pet business, my pet care business, of course, because people are always asking for recommendations for food and for toys and for supplies and equipment and so forth. And it was just a natural lead-in. But I started with Life's Abundance primarily because I saw the difference that it was making in the dogs that I was, my own dog, as well as the dogs that I was working with. The behavior is, your nutrition is a key component into behavior and behavioral issues. And so when I started to see what higher quality dog food, the difference it made with these dogs, then I started pursuing and looking into more options, and I stumbled upon this, and I've been with them for 18 years now.
From the business side of it, for 18 years is a long time. How does that work, Ben? Because we both, I mean, I'm new to it, but the quality is incredible, and my dog Mahalo, I think, is he just inhales the food. He loves it. The idea that it's made in small batches, all those great nutrients that we talk about, and I've talked about that on the show. But I haven't talked as much about the business side. Tell the listeners more about the business side and how that can be fruitful for them.
Sure. Yeah, there's a lot of pluses to the business side. And one of the things you just touched on is that you made in the small batches and so forth. This is an American company, and all the products and all of the ingredients are manufactured in the United States. So I like to support businesses that are in the United States. And many of these larger companies, we don't even realize it, but a lot of the ingredients are being imported from China and then put together here. And this has been some of the reasons for some of the recent recalls in the past few years. Is they've gotten some tainted ingredients and then put it together in the United States, and some animals have been suffering, and many have died from one of the recalls, actually. So that's one of the components is, you know, it's an American and U.S. company. But as I said, I had trained dogs for close to 20 years. I have really not done any training at all, but it was a natural lead since I moved to Sarasota, but it was a natural add-on for my dog training business. And I have trained thousands of dogs over the years. And with this business, every single day I get an email saying that so-and-so ordered dog food from you. And this so-and-so is a client from 15 years ago. They are on their third dog that I've not even met. And I may have worked with them in Washington, D.C., and now they live in Washington State. So this type of business is really residual, because once they're clients for life, and I am on some second, third, and even fourth dogs that they're continuing to order the food. So it's not like a business where you might, some pet stores or groomers or veterinarians will actually have to stock the product. This is completely hands-off, which is perfect for me because now I'm focusing on real estate. I don't want to have to stock product. I don't want to have to worry about expirations. I don't want to have to worry about shipping things. That's all taken care of. And I literally still have hundreds of customers from all over the country that I have not even spoken with in 10, 15 years.
Wow. And the great thing, too, is the point of entry is very low, I think. I think it's incredibly reasonable. So you combine that with the fact of what you just said. You don't have to stock anything, and it makes it a no-brainer. So somebody told me the other day she had just started Life's Abundance, I think, a couple of months ago. And basically what she told me is, you know what? My food is covered for my dog. That's amazing. I don't have to pay for the food because I have people that realize how great this food is and that it is an American-made, it's made in America and the small batches and the nutrients and all of that. So I feel good about it because I'm not getting terrible food off of a shelf, and now my dog benefits, but it also, I'm not buying the dog food anymore because it's paid for itself, and that's the start of it, isn't it?
Exactly. That very quickly happens with this business. The startup costs, like you said, for starting a business, it's, I mean, everything included for the first year is under $500. So
right.
It just doesn't make any, you know, it's a no-brainer, especially for somebody who's already in the pet industry. But I know countless people who just are pet lovers and wanted to take care of their own animals in the best way possible, and that's how they got involved, like yourself.
Yeah. The with Life's Abundance too, they also do something really neat that they give food to shelters. You can give food to shelters, individual shelters, and I love the way they do that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a really great company and a very solid company that gives back.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And so I would be remiss not to ask you about this. How's the real estate biz?
Real estate business is great. It really is. It's there's always ups and downs in this type of business, but I primarily, my niche with real estate is working with investors. As a real estate investor myself, I actually got my real estate license here in Florida because my husband and I started to buy properties as rental opportunities. And I just started getting asked by other people for some help. So I got my real estate license for that purpose, to further along our investing business as well as to help other people. And I just fell in love with it. So there's another way that building wealth and having income coming in with our rental properties has just been phenomenal. Yeah.
Yeah, I love it. And plus all that sunshine and those beaches. Are you kidding? Who doesn't want to live in Sarasota or near Sarasota? I got to tell you, it's beautiful there, of course, right?
Yeah, I have to say that we do live in paradise. It's been 5 years since I moved here from the Boston area, and I have not looked back, although I have learned to stop putting pictures of the beach and the palm trees in January and February on Facebook. My friends don't appreciate that anymore.
I love that. Lisa Flynn, what a pleasure to have you on the show. Thanks so much for joining us.
I really appreciate the opportunity, Kate. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home, and you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home, as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. 800-667-9035. That's 800-667-9035.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King. The car fire in Redding, California has claimed at least six lives and destroyed hundreds of buildings. nearly 40,000 people are still evacuated, and they're waiting to find out when they can return home. CAL FIRE Incident Commander Brett Govea is urging residents to be patient.
Those areas in and around the city of Redding that are undamaged, that were precautionary, that we took everybody out based on the fire behavior that we saw, as we were being very conservative, you're going to see those repopulating very soon.
Firefighters have had their share of challenges fighting the blaze, including hot weather, steep terrain, and having to ground their own planes because of drones.
We ask that you please refrain from flying drones over the fire.
Also, a second firefighter has been killed fighting the massive fire near Yosemite National Park. You're listening to USA Radio News.
The following update is for drivers who pay too much for car insurance due to DUIs, DWIs, tickets, or anything else. Our company specializes in low-cost SR22 auto insurance. We know that mistakes happen and offer free quotes for very affordable auto insurance meant specifically for you, the overpaying high-risk driver. The quote is free and we'll handle the filing so you can start saving money. Call 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725.
Are you tired of high cable TV rates? Sign up for Dish today and get a $500 bonus offer while supplies last. Plus, lock in your price for 2 years guaranteed. Call All American Dish, your Dish authorized retailer now.
800-610-5739. 800-610-5739. That's 800-610-5739. Offers require credit qualification, 24-month commitment, early termination fee, Eddie Auto Pay. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Welcome to Forbes Books at Bedtime with Kate Delaney and Greg Stebbin.
We're back again with Anna Liada, and we're talking about, of course, generations and the differences and whatnot. And Anna, last time you were explaining to us about engagement and millennials, and I thought it was fascinating as you were talking about mentoring and mentoring up and mentoring down and mentoring across. I understand mentoring up and down, but what is mentoring across?
So mentoring across is coming from the perspective that everyone has something to contribute. And so what we typically have seen with our baby boomers' formative experiences in the workplace is that people worked in silos and you only learned what was in your department and you didn't stick your nose in other people's business because that's not what you had been hired to do or paid to do. Our millennials come in and they want to have a 360-degree view of an organization. And so from the very beginning, they're learning what they were hired for, but they're looking to see across the way what else is available. So we want to be giving them a transparent, clear view through the organization because they may have started in, say, accounting, but they didn't know that they had a little marketing flair that they'd like to explore. And so, on average, our baby boomers got on with a company for 20-plus years. Our Gen Xers got on with a company, and as free agents, they stayed between 7 to 13 years. But our millennials get on with a company, and they will have between 13 and 26 different careers. So their trajectory at an organization that doesn't allow them to mentor across and mentor up and down and look at how they can map out their career GPS is about 6 months to 18 months. So if you allow them from the very beginning to look across, learn from others, whether it's up, down, or around, they will actually stay longer. The number one reason that millennials report leaving organizations is because they were not being developed. Number one reason, it wasn't money, and it wasn't even work-life balance, although they want both of those. But they very strongly believe that they need to be developed. Gallup just put out a report that will be available for purchase later, and they were looking at, okay, what's the number one thing? Over 70% of millennials said, I'm leaving because I don't feel like I'm being developed.
So, you know what's interesting, Anna, and I'm going to go back to something you said in our previous segment with you. You talked about your, did you call her your bonus mom?
I did.
I love her bonus.
Because she was a gift to our family.
I love that.
She took us on.
So your bonus mom grew up. She was your biological mother passed away, and your father remarried, and this is now his new wife, mm-hmm. your bonus mom.
Mm-hmm.
And she was a depression child, and mm-hmm. so at a family gathering for the 973 people in your family, since you have 19 siblings. a huge number of siblings, nieces and nephews, and grandnieces and nephews. Your bonus mom is wiping the tinfoil clean so she can reuse it. And you know what struck me as you were walking through that story is that I could also see a millennial doing that, but for a different reason. So a depression child would be doing it because of scarcity, but actually, it's kind of the same thing. A millennial might do it because of a different kind of scarcity, not a personal scarcity, but a ecological global scarcity, right? It's a resource that we could save and reuse. And so I'm wondering, do you think, first of all, I think the idea of codes is really brilliant. I mean, the minute you said that, so many things made sense to me that I had grappled with in the past. So I think you're absolutely right. It's not just a great way of saying it. I think it's completely accurate. But do you see that codes, kind of like fashions, will actually come back? Will we see another Gen X-like generation? Will we see another Depression-era-like generation?
Ah, what a brilliant question. Absolutely. In my book, Unlocking Generational Codes, I take you through the 80-year social mood cycle that we have gone through in the U.S. over 19 generations, over 19 times in the generations, because we have 19 generations since the inception of the U.S. And each one of those 80-year cycles have four social moods inside of them. Mm. And the archetype that is developed during that social mood in that era is consistently coming back. It's consistently coming around again. And so our millennials as an archetype are a hero archetype. The last time we had the same social mood as the millennials have grown up under was our GI generation. Mm. They were a hero archetype. They want to do great things. They want to rise to the challenge. And so what's really brilliant is we can understand that the Gen Z globals coming after the millennials are an artist archetype, and pluralism and narrowing the gap between the have and the have-nots is going to be their mission. So you are absolutely right that we will see this again, but the generational codes addresses how their formative experiences will have them react a little bit differently. And when we understand that, yes, the GI generation that my bonus mom was and the millennial have the same archetype, so they come at the same problem, and there's a very similar way of approaching it, but why they're doing it is different.
Right.
Millennials are conserving for the environmental and looking at the imprint, and for the GI generation, it was more of a survival phenomenon. And so many generations have many things in common, and where the power for a leader is when you understand the code, you understand the drivers. It's not that there aren't things that baby boomers dreamed of and Gen Xers desired, now millennials demand. For instance, work-life balance. Our baby boomers say, we wanted work-life balance. We dreamed of it. We talked about it. But we had 80 million peers. Gen Xers say, we desired it, right? But there was only 44 million, and there was a tsunami of a labor pool called baby boomers. And now millennials come in, and they demand work-life balance because they're going to be working into their 80s. But guess what? Work-life balance flows and serves covers all of the generations. When we recalibrate and we put that in, it helps Gen Xers and it helps baby boomers, and it definitely will help the globals.
So it's interesting. I have an even greater appreciation for your talking about the generations with a code, because I realize now that when you codify something, it's data, right? I mean, you've actually given me a data-driven approach to viewing a generation, which is so much better than "I hate you all." No, that's not
that's
useful.
Right.
Let me quantify what's going on to my benefit and to their benefit, and that's what a code is. Is really another word for an algorithm, right? You've essentially created a generational algorithm.
Exactly, and it's very funny because a lot of Gen Xers in particular will say, "I'm not a Gen Xer, I'm just me. I don't, I'm not part of anything."
Which is such a Gen X thing to say.
It's exactly part of their generational code. And at the end of a lot of my speeches and presentations, Gen Xers will come up and they're kind of sheepishly saying, "I feel a little weird, you just described my life." And it's relieving to them to understand that that code or algorithm is something that they can actually bring from the background to the foreground and now have facility in operating inside of it, because instead of it running them, they now recognize, oh, here are the variables making up that algorithm. Now I get it, and I can choose to, you know, work with the variables, I can adjust the variables, but now it's not something that is, you know, operating in spite of me.
Wow, so it's interesting. We see on and now that there are a lot of companies that do telecommuting and a lot of people that work from home, and there's a lot of entrepreneurs. So the younger, I'm going to say the younger generations and the last two we described, so the globals, for example, and the millennials, do they desire connectedness among people, or are they okay with sort of this telecommuting?
Excellent question. So millennials are okay with telecommuting up to a point, because one of the things about their generational code is that they are very social. So they need the time to come together with their peeps, their people, their peers. They very much enjoy being around other people, and too much isolation can actually be a problem. And yet, they want the flexibility to say, tell me what you want by when you want it, and then let me get the work done. Don't measure me by FaceTime. Don't measure me if you just see me, line of sight management, which our boomers grew up with. They say, if I get it in on time as promised, then why do you care where I was when I did it? But they do need the social connection of coming together at times. And so that's why a lot of organizations now are going to the point where they have a lot of touchdown spots within their organization. I have the fortune of doing a lot of work with Amazon right now, and it's not about the office and having the corner office that our baby boomers would have wanted. It's about having a place that you can plug in when you're together, but then lots of casual collaboration spaces where you can get together with peers and you can actually connect. So they actually really like the choice. That's a DNA piece for millennials. I want to have options, and so I want the choice of being able to come in and collaborate in the same space, but I want the freedom of being able to get my work done from anywhere. Work is not a destination for millennials. Work is something you do from where you are. That's part of their talent code.
Wow, I love that. We have like a minute left, and sometimes, well, in fact, a lot of times we ask our guests this question. What is it that keeps you up at night?
I think the thing that keeps me up at night is that people are seeing themselves in conflict to each other because they don't understand each other. And the problems that we have to solve will not be solved from conflict. They will be solved from collaboration. They will be solved from understanding and being in harmony and in flow with each other. And so I think that the problem is, if we see each other as our adversaries or our problems, we will not get the job done.
Wow, so well said. Ana Liotta, thank you so much. This was really a pleasure. We'll have to have her back on. What do you think, Greg?
Well, okay.
Okay.
I have 100 more questions to ask you. Yes.
100 good answers.
Thanks for joining us on Forbes Books at Bedtime.
Thank you, Kate.
Jessica Armand, creator of the fluoride-free oral care brand, My Magic Mud. You're going to love our new products. Our cutting-edge oral rinses deeply soothe your mouth and fight cavities naturally. Our breath spray, My Magic Mist, will invigorate your senses with essential oils of peppermint and eucalyptus. Our clinically proven toothpaste and tooth powders whiten your teeth and detoxify your mouth. Buy discounted bundles direct at MyMagicMud.com and take 10% off with coupon code GCN10. MyMagicMud.com.
This is Elizabeth McCabe, a.k.a. Lucky One of Truth Frequency News. I wanted to tell you all about Extendivite from HeartDrop.com. Y'all know I check everything before I air it. When I heard about Extendivite on TFR, I went to HeartDrop.com and started my research. It's got cayenne. That's good for blood and circulation. It stimulates the blood flow. It's got garlic, which fights bacteria like antibiotics, and it lowers the cholesterol and blood pressure. It also has milk thistle, which is the best detox for liver. I couldn't wait to try it out, and I'm glad I did 4 months ago. And here's obvious results. My hands and feet don't get cold anymore. The varicose veins have faded too. My wrists don't hurt after typing all day. Now I tell you all this because it's true and I want you to really live life. Try Extendivite. Go to heartdrop.com and order it.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Have you had credit challenges, divorce, bankruptcy, or just haven't established your credit yet? If so, getting a decent car loan can be tough. The good news is that there is a place where you can get a car loan at a fair price, regardless of your credit situation. Auto Loan Express can make it happen now when you visit newcar99.com. Here's the deal. If you have a regular job, then there's no reason to keep taking the bus or repairing that old junker. Go to newcar99.com today and fill out our simple online application. We accept over 99% of applicants and can get you behind the wheel of your new car with just a few strokes of your keyboard. No hassles, no third degree. Just fill out the simple online application and start shopping for your next car. So when you're ready to get on the road with your new car loan, visit us online at newcar99.com, where we accept 99% of all applications. newcar99.com. If you have a job, then you qualify. Here's to you and your new car. Visit newcar99.com. newcar99.com.
Check it out. Not really up. The Hug Store. Rick Morrison is the founder of the Hug Alliance and co-author of the children's book, The Hug Store. National Hugging Day has been actually observed since 1986 on January 21st this year in honor of the 32nd anniversary. The nonprofit I mentioned, the Hug Alliance, is aiming to set it to Guinness World Records in Los Angeles. The most nationalities ever in a group hug, and we'll tell you about the other one coming up. But let's get him on the line. He's in our virtual green room. Rick Morrison, he's the founder of the Hug Alliance and the co-author of the children's book, The Hug Store. So he's the event founder coordinator of this whole thing. Hi, Rick.
Hi. Hi, thank you.
Let's
for
talk
having
about.
Me on.
Tell me about why and when National Hugging Day started.
So National Hugging Day, to go back just to the origin, was actually started not by myself, but by Kevin Zaborni in 1986, and he just wanted people to hug more, and it was really just kind of a very grassroots early on movement for him. And it's while it's not widely known, it is known, and it's actually celebrated in some places all over the world on every January 21st. So that's how the origins of it go back. But this year will be by far the biggest global celebration and recognition of that day.
Yeah, so tell us what you're doing. I mentioned the one thing, trying to get those two Guinness World Records in L.A. Tell us about that.
So there's three, actually, world records we're going to go for. The first world record is the most nationalities ever in a group hug. And it's going to represent, it's basically like the Olympics of hugging. And there's going to be sashes worn by different people from different countries. And hopefully we're going to, you know, have every country, but, you know, we need a certain number to actually break the Guinness record. And then the second is a real fun record that is going to involve astronauts in the International Space Station that have these kinetic vests. And a few people on Earth will wear them and be able to hug. And when they hug themselves in this vest, the person in the space station, the astronaut, will feel that hug and do the same thing back. So it literally is like an intergalactic hug.
Wow, interesting. I love that.
Yeah.
Intergalactic. So cool.
Yeah,
How did you work this whole thing out?
The world records. I said you guys might need to change, you know, rethink your name, because, you know, it goes outside the world at that point.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, I love that. Tell me about what are the benefits of hugging? What is research showing us?
Well, see, that's it. There's so much research now. And, you know, I always say to people, it's like, you know, your favorite flavor ice cream. You just, you know, you like what you like, and you like a hug because it leaves you feeling a certain way, or you feel great about giving somebody one when they feel, you know, the need, you know, they need a hug. But really, now, if you actually practice it like an exercise, there's one of the doctors within our Hug Alliance, he's a clinical psychologist who has a book coming out, 21 Day Hugs, hugging 21 people over 21 days for 21 seconds at a time. And it's that connection point in longer hugs that has really been researched, where, and the list is so long, I mean, we could be on for an hour talking about the benefits, but, you know, some of the most common ones now that are all the things that involve different chemicals in the body, oxytocin, serotonin, dopamine, those kind of what we call tonic chemicals and good feeling chemicals, you know, there's more of them. Your body produces more of those, and it reduces the stress hormone, also known as, just slipped my mind for a minute, cortisol. And that's kind of the one that, you know, you try to not. But that's the one that, you know, we've always had for fight or flight when you're in fear-based, and that, along with adrenaline, you know, those are the ones that. So, and by doing that, as those chemicals go in different directions with increases and decreases, you know, you reduce stress and worry and anxiety. You increase your calmness. You know, it involves more in compassion and understanding of the people that you're with. And one of my favorites, because we're such a supplement kind of world these days, where there's a supplement, it seems, for everything, hugs really have been researched to stimulate your immune system.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah.
I had no idea about that. Rick, so tell me, and we're going to say again, Rick Morrison is the founder of the Hug Alliance, co-author of the children's book, The Hug Store. What got you involved in this?
My daughter. Honestly, I mean, I've always been a hugger. Some of the people, you know, might even say a world-class hugger, but I never, you know, it's hugging. It's just part of who I am. So I never really thought there'd be a path to really kind of explore hugs and try to get the word out on the benefits to the masses. But, you know, my daughter and I are so close. We wrote this children's book together, and it's kind of been somewhat effortless in getting it out there, because there's such a need for it these days with so much division and separateness. And, you know, actually, with everything going on so much, too, with the Me Too campaign, it's like we don't, you know, it's okay to hug. Just ask the person you're going to hug. You know, say, I'd love to hug you. Would you welcome my hug? You know, and that's obviously for people you don't know or don't know well. But even within, you know, the context of the families, you know, people don't stop to hug. You might do a little quick kiss or a little pat on the back, but you're not really getting those benefits that we spoke of earlier.
It's so funny you say that, Rick, because I notice people who are, like you say, you're like a world-class hugger. I notice people who give really, I call them really sincere, good hugs. And I have a couple of friends that are, it's just awesome when they hug you. And it is. It isn't this like kind of, I mean, it just feels good. There is something about it.
Well, you know, and there's, I don't know if there's research on this. I haven't seen anything, at least on our end, that's come through the Hug Alliance. But, you know, it always goes back to, you know, when you are born, you've been hugged for, you know, virtually 9 months, and you're hugged, and you're used to having a feeling of things around you. And, you know, babies are often swaddled to bring them comfort and, you know, wrapped really tight. That gives them a very calm presence, and that continues on. You know, with hugging is kind of the extension of those things that start early in life.
Yeah, boy, no kidding. Tell me about the children's book, The Hug Story. You said you wrote it with your daughter.
Yeah,
what was that like?
It is my joy to talk about that. It was actually, it's based on a true story of an event that happened when we were visiting my family in Michigan, where Shauna, my daughter, who was 4 at the time, you know, she didn't want to hug her grandpa. And she hadn't seen him in 6 months. And, you know, the grandparents always, you know, kind of want their hugs, and it's kind of all about them. But sometimes kids just aren't comfortable. And, you know, I kind of took a step back, and I didn't insist that she hug him. And I kind of just let it play out to see what she would do. Would it be kind of a meltdown situation? Would my parents be upset? And I didn't know. And Shauna just said that she was all out of hugs. And didn't have any right now, but she'd go to the store while she was in Michigan and bring one home back, or bring one home for Grandpa.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, and you know, so the book is a discovery for kids to kind of return to trusting their instincts, to rely on their self for answers and self-discovery. And it's set around the context of a family, and Shauna goes shopping in different stores that she picked, looking for hugs, but virtually, you know, by the end realizing that, you know, if you shop for hugs, you'll be shopping forever.
Oh, what a wonderful sentiment. I love that. Oh, this is terrific.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Rick, I hope you set all those records, and we're going to tell everyone, hug somebody on January 21st. Hug them every day, but hug some people.
And they can follow us. I will say actually two things real quick, because people can live stream the event anywhere in the world. It's going to be globally live streamed. And that site, they can find us a few different ways through the hugalliance.net. thehugmob.com, or for the direct link on agapelive.com. AGAPELIVE. Yep.
I love it, Rick. We'll be doing that. Thank you
so much
for coming on the show. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Big hugs.
I love it. You can tell he's a big hugger. You know it. You know he's a good hugger. I love the story about his daughter. All right, stay with us. Much more coming your way on the flip side here on ATN.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. Kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
Bacon lovers, we ship free. Try our amazing bacon. No refrigeration required. Proprietary value-added packaging provides 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Savory and delicious. Wholesale price for your everyday use.
Order today at ReadyToEatBacon.com. ReadyToEatBacon.com.